Instead of you trying to pronounce my last name, just call me Mzungu Mike. Amen? So I want to get everybody's picture. We're going to take you back to America with me, all right? All right. So we're going to say, I love Jesus. Ready? One, two, three. I love Jesus. And we're going to say, I love, ready? I love Mzungu Mike. Amen. This is my third trip to Kenya. And I can tell you, I already know I'm in the midst of God's people. Because God's people love to sing. They love to praise the Lord. And God's people love His Word. Amen? Did you bring a Bible? We brought some Bibles from America again today. Because I haven't understood everything that's been said today. You people are different than me. I'm different than you. But God has given us all His Word. Amen? And I have a lot of things to say to you today. But I only have one wish. That is, by the time I leave today, you will rejoice that we are all the body of Christ. And you will love this book more today than you ever have in your life. In Jeremiah 33:3, God says to us, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. And I'm going to show you some great things today, but they're going to be simple things. Now, earlier, we were singing about the blood. Do you know this song? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen! You can come to America and sing for me. Let me show you some things about blood. Because I believe that we're created in God's image. Amen? In America, they teach all the school children that they evolved from monkeys. They don't believe in God anymore. But I believe in God. And I taught my children to believe in God. And that God created us in His image. So let me show you some things about how God made you. About how God made your body. And about how God made your blood. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul teaches us that the husband is the head of the wife. Now, some people don't like that, but let me show you how true this is. This is the pastor of this church, correct? Okay. He is the head. And everybody in this church is the body. Amen? When God speaks to this church, He speaks His word to the head. The head speaks it to the body. Amen? So, in the house, the father is the head, and the wife and the children are the body. And all the children are different. It's just like this finger is different than this finger. And this hand cannot do things that this hand can do. I have 5 children. This is one of my daughters. She can do things that my other children cannot do. She looks a little different than my other children. But my other children can do things she cannot do. She's afraid of bugs. Yeah, spiders, flies. Yeah. She's afraid of them. I have another daughter that's lonesome. They're all different. But they all are part of my body. And I love this daughter and my other daughters and my 2 sons. I love them as much as my own body because they are my body. My wife is my body. But there can only be one head. Amen? One head. And I want you to understand this. When the body is hungry, where does the food come from? The head. I don't eat with my arm. I don't eat with my arm. I don't eat with my foot. I eat with my mouth. And it's on my head. It is, Paul said in Ephesians 5, that it's the head that nourishes the body. When my body needs breath, air, where does it get the air from? Where's the nose? On the head. Amen? You husbands, you are the head of your family. You would not be cruel to your own body. Likewise, you should not be cruel to your family. Amen? As Paul said, the husband nourishes and cherishes his own body. If your wife and family need food, it should be the husband. If your wife and children need life, that life is going to come from the husband. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
So now we're going to think of Christ in the church. Christ is the head. And we are all members of His body. I'm going to show you something. I have 2 hands. And they sort of look alike. They kind of look alike. But when I write with my right hand. When I eat with my right hand. My right hand can do things that my left hand cannot do. I have a strong side and a weak side. Amen? Now, watch this. Where is Jesus right now? He's at the hand of the Father. Which hand? Because in the Bible, the right hand is strength. What does God hold in His right hand? A book. And it's this book. And this book has power. This book does what we cannot do. Now, again, I have two hands. You have two parts to your Bible. You have the Old Testament. It's on the left. The New Testament is on the right. The Old Testament declares that we are sinners. The Old Testament is the law. And the Old Testament cannot save us. The Old Testament cannot save us. Cannot give us salvation. Because the Old Testament just tells us what we did wrong. It is like my left hand in that it is weak. So now we have another testament. We have the New Testament. It is on the right side of my Bible. It has the power to save me that the Old Testament does not have. Does everybody understand that? Say amen. In a church, there are some who are strong, and there are some who are weak. Does that mean that we can just throw away those that are weak? No, because Paul said in Galatians that those who are strong are there to help the weak. Can I hear you say amen? Because God made us all members of His body. Let me show you this. If I am cut on my arm, if I get a cut on my arm, or I fall and I hurt my arm, do you know what my body does? You do this, right? Watch this. When I hurt my arm, you see what happened? Another part of my body came over to help the wounded part of my body. And it rubs. And when it rubs, there's a part of my brain that releases a pain reliever. And as I rub this, I'm soothing what hurts and taking the pain away. That's how it should be in a family. When somebody in the family is hurt, the other parts of the family come and bring comfort. Amen. Amen. When somebody in this church is hurting, other people in this church come and they comfort them. Amen? When your pastor is hurting, the whole body helps the head. Amen? When I'm wounded, the rest of my body is giving its life to heal the wound. If you've ever been sick in part of your body, you'll notice that the whole body is sick. That's because God designed the body to help one another. Amen? Samburu is your county. Marilal is your town. This is your body. If you see somebody in this town with a need, you can't turn your back on them. These are your people. Amen? This is your body. You are here to help someone who cannot help themselves. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Now we go back to the head. Pastor is the head of the church. So it is his job to nourish the church. Which means that he feeds himself the Word of God. And then he stands before you. And he feeds you the Word of God. He spends time in prayer. He spends time with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the breath. And when he stands in front of you and he preaches the Word of God, he is giving life to this body. Amen? You husbands, it is your job to love your family and to care for your family and to feed your family and to nourish your family. Because if the family is not well, neither will the head be well. Your Excellency, the Governor, he is the head of this area. You pray for him. It is his role to lead this county, to guide these people, to nourish these people, to care for these people. And as God blesses him, he will bless his people. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Now, up on the screen, up on the wall over here, I have some verses. Here's what it says in English. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let me show you what this means. You have a beautiful building here. But this building was made with the hands of men. And we know that God does not dwell in temples made with hands. So where does God dwell? In me and in you. The name of my church back in America is Bethel. Does anybody know what Bethel means? Beth means house. El means God. Bethel means house of God. So all of the people in my church, we are the house that God dwells in. All of the saints that are here today are the house that God dwells in. Now, I know that most of the world doesn't think much of the African. They don't care that you starve. They don't care that you don't have water. They don't care that you have wars among yourself. But I came here today to tell you that God Almighty thinks so much of you that He has decided to live inside of you. Amen. So if the world hates you and the world doesn't care about you, the God who is over this world cares about you. Now we're going to start to get happy. We're going to get happy. Revelation chapter 4. John is taken up into heaven. And he gets to see the temple of God in heaven. He sees God. He sees His throne. He sees all the angels. He sees everything that is in God's temple. And he described it for us in Revelation chapter 4. So let me show you what John saw. The first thing that John saw, Revelation chapter 4, there was a throne set in heaven and one sat on the throne. That throne is God's throne. Now let me ask you a question. Does Jesus live in you today? Where do we say that He lives? In our heart. Our heart is the throne of God. So here's what I'm going to show you. That the temple of God in heaven is exactly like the temple of God here on this earth. So number one, God sits on His throne, and that throne is your heart. Amen? Now watch this. Underneath God's throne were four angels, four living creatures. And those four living creatures had a platform over them, a firmament, and on that sat the throne of God. When the Levite priest carried the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant was the throne of God, was it not? Do you know how many Levite priests carried the Ark of the Covenant? Four. Just like the four angels in heaven carry the throne of God. Now, where did we say God dwells? In our hearts. Did you know that in your heart you have four chambers? Four rooms. Yeah. Four chambers, four rooms in your heart. Each one of them represents those four angels. Represents those four Levite priests. And they represent four books in your Bible where you learned about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Amen. Love this. Amen. Then, John said he saw the throne of God, and it was in the midst of a sea of glass, clear as crystal. The ocean, the sea.
Glass.
right? When Solomon built the temple, he built that same thing. He built a crystal floor for the throne to sit on. Now, has anybody ever been to the sea, the ocean?
Huh?
It has salt water, right? All right, here we go. God's throne sits on this sea of glass, and the sea surrounds the throne of God, the Bible says. Okay. There is a sack that covers your heart. When they pierced Jesus in the side, do you remember what came forth? Blood and water. So what they pierced was a sack called the pericardium. Pericardium, that's a Greek word. Okay? Peri means a circle, means around. Okay? And cardia is the heart. Okay? You have it, I'll say it like this. You have a sack that surrounds your heart. A sack, a bag. You have a bag that surrounds your heart, and it's full of salt water. You have a sea surrounding your heart. Just like the sea that surrounded the throne of God in heaven. And it doesn't matter if you're African or Mzungu. We all have the same heart. Amen. I'm not done. Then John said he heard thundering, lightning, and voices. Does anybody know what makes your heart beat? Does anybody know what makes your heart beat? It beats on electricity, lightning. 60, 70, 80 times a minute, lightning strikes and makes your heart beat. Have you ever listened to someone's heartbeat? Have you ever heard thunder? Same thing. Where's your voice come from? Right here. Uh-huh. It's in the body. Now watch this. I like this. Okay? Remember, Christ is the head. We are the body. Even though Christ gives the words to preach to this world, the voice comes from the body. We are the body. We are the voice of Jesus Christ in this world. If people are going to hear from Jesus, they've got to hear it from us. This is why God put it in our heart to want to be a blessing to the churches and pastors in this area. To put a radio station here where you people could hear the Word of God. Because we are the voice. Amen? You're going to like this one. So he saw the throne of God. He saw the four living creatures. By the way, what does your heart do? It pumps what? Blood. Blood is life. And without blood, there is no life. Think of what we just said earlier. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen? So here is God in our heart, and He is giving life to the entire body. Amen? My little toe and my right hand all get the same blood. There's not a different blood for Africans and a different blood for Mzungu. It's all the same blood. Amen? Stay with me. Then he sees the throne of God, the four living creatures. He hears the thundering and the lightning and the voices. Then he sees seven lamps. And what are those seven lamps? Seven candles. They are the seven spirits of God. Now, what does spirit mean? What does it mean? Jesus went to his disciples and he breathed on them and he said, "Receive ye the Spirit." The word spirit means breath. Where does the breath come from in your body? You have two lungs. Amen? Watch this. Why do you have two lungs? For the same reason why you have two parts to your Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Amen? And when God's people need the Spirit, the preacher can preach from the Old Testament, or he can preach from the New Testament, and it's still the breath of God going into the body. Amen? Now, you're going to like this. Remember that Christ is the head. The head is always over the body. Amen? Because that's authority. When you step on a snake, you are in authority over that snake. Amen? Now watch this. Where did God put our lungs? In our head? On the day of Pentecost, God sent down His Spirit so that it's in the body. Not up here somewhere. God's Spirit is right here in the midst of His people. And do you know what form that is? Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And even though Jesus is exalted on high, just like the head is above the body, we have His Spirit down here with us in our Bibles. Old Testament, New Testament. Somebody say amen. This is where it gets really good. I've been holding on to this for a while. We believe that Jesus' blood washes all of our sins away, right? We know that the church's garments have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. Who in here has ever gotten blood on your clothes? You ever got blood on your clothes? They're not clean, are they? So how is it that blood cleanses us from all sin? There's two parts to your blood. And blood is always symbolized in the Bible like wine. Blood is the symbol of wine in the Bible. There are two types of wine. Red and white. You have two types of cells in your blood. Red and white. Yeah. Just like wine. Okay, now watch this.
Let's go ahead.
Okay. Let me tell you what red blood cells do. Red blood cells are shaped like a cup. Well, that took a long time. Red blood cells are shaped like a cup. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Okay, you're doing good. Hey, pray that God gives him the gift of interpretation. Amen. When Jesus sat with his disciples, what was he holding in his hand? A cup. And he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And God designed your red blood cells like little cups. And they're shaped that way because they carry things. When you eat, your body turns your food into sugar, and it puts that sugar in the red blood cell, in the cup, and that goes to all of your body to feed your body. So that every part of the body gets fed. Okay, everybody do this. Your body took in air, and the cups in your blood went to your lungs, scooped up all that air, and took it to all the cells in your body. Because every part of your body needs food, and it needs air so that it can live. And this is what we're doing here today. I am trying to give you food, and I want to give you the Spirit so that this body can live. Amen? Then we have white blood cells. Let me show you what they do. Have you ever had a sore on your skin, a sore, and it had pus on it? White stuff on your sore. You ever seen that? Okay. Do you know what that is? White blood cells. Because I want to show you what they do. When your body is defiled by something that's unclean, if you get a cut or you get a sickness, there is an uncleanness in your body. God designed these white blood cells to go searching through your body for uncleanness. In the Bible, sin is our uncleanness. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is unclean to us, and it's going to kill us. Unless someone takes away the uncleanness. So let me show you what the white blood cell does. When the white blood cell finds the uncleanness, get ready now. The first thing it does is cover it completely. When you confess your sins to God, Christ's blood was applied. And it covered all of your sins. Psalm 32 says, blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered. The man whose sins are hidden. And once the white blood cell covers the uncleanness, it is now hidden and cannot be seen. When we stand before God on the day of judgment, even though we have sinned, we have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And when God looks at us, He cannot see our sin. Amen. Not done yet. Because once it covers it, it breaks the uncleanness in pieces. That's what God has done to our enemies. He's dashed our enemies in pieces. This is making me sweat. Amen. Then, once the white blood cell covers the sin, and breaks it in pieces, it consumes it. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we find the man of sin. The man of sin. The Antichrist. And Christ is going to come and consume him with the brightness of his coming. Now that the sin has been consumed, it is as if that uncleanness never existed. When we get to heaven, and I don't know about Africans, but I know us Mzungus sin. We've broken God's laws. We've transgressed His ways. We are full of uncleanness. And yet Christ's blood has washed me clean. So that it's as if I had never sinned in my life. You know what happens to the white blood cell after it does all that? it dies. When Jesus finished the atonement for our sins on the cross, He said, "It is finished." And He gave up the ghost. And He died. And the white blood cells in our body are just what Christ does with our sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. Though they be red like crimson, Isaiah chapter 1. They shall be as wool. White as wool. Amen. I'm almost done. What I'm telling you is, you are the temple of God. And God dwells in you. And God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses His temple so that He dwells in a clean house. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now watch this. We're going to go back to Revelation. John sees the throne. That's the heart. He sees the sea. That's that bag of water that surrounds your heart. He sees the seven spirits of God, which is the lungs. He hears the thundering, the lightnings, and the voices. And then he sees something surrounding the throne of God. Does anybody know what it was? In Revelation 4, it's 24 elders. The 24 elders. Understand? And the 24 elders surround the throne of God. And they are dressed in white. Right here, I have bones called ribs. They are white. And there's 24 of them. And they surround. They start here and go all the way around and end here. They surround the throne of God in my body. You are the temple of God. And God wants to purify His house. So He sent His Son to purge His house. To cleanse His house so that God could dwell with us. And every place we go, we are the house of God. We are Bethel. Say that with me. Say, I am Bethel. I am the house of God. Give God the praise and the glory this morning. What else if He weighs? Thank you.